A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. On that day, a shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots a bud shall blossom. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, a spirit of wisdom and of understanding, a spirit of counsel and of strength, a spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be the fear of the Lord. Not by appearance shall he judge, nor by hearsay shall he decide, but he shall judge the poor with justice and decide aright for the lands afflicted. He shall strike the ruthless with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Justice shall be the band around his waist, and faithfulness a belt upon his hips. Then the wolf shall be the guest of the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the young lion shall browse together, with a little child to guide them. The cow and the bear shall be neighbors. Together their young shall rest. The lion shall eat hay like the ox. The baby shall play by the cobra's den, and the child lay his hand on the adder's lair. There shall be no harm or ruin on all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of God as water covers the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse, set up as a signal for the nations, the Gentiles shall seek out, for his dwelling shall be glorious. The word of the Lord.
Justice shall flourish in his time, and for this
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, whatever was written previously was written for our instruction, that by endurance and by the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to think in harmony with one another, in keeping with Christ Jesus, that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another then, as Christ welcomed you, for the glory of God. For I say that Christ became a minister of the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, to confirm the promises to the patriarchs, but so that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. The word of the Lord.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et tu spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi Domine.
John the Baptist appeared, preaching in the desert of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It was of him that the prophet Isaiah had spoken when he said, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." John wore clothing made of camel's hair and had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. At that time, Jerusalem, all Judea, and the whole region around the Jordan were going out to him, and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Even now the axe lies at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I am baptizing you with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire."
Verbum Domini.
Domus tibi.
this second Sunday of Advent, we hear for the second time this past week from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. And to help with the context of this reading, the two verses prior to our reading today give us a very vivid image of God standing ready as the judge with his axe. And the Isaiah notes, again, in these two previous verses to today's reading, the great in height will be hewn down, and the lofty will be brought low. He will cut down the thickets of the forest with an axe, and Lebanon with its majestic trees will fall. So that sets up today's reading as it begins with this image of a stump. So the tree has been cut down. Why was this tree cut down? Because of the sinfulness of its people. They were immersed in sin and they lacked repentance. They were not seeking conversion of heart. They were not seeking to please God. They were not bearing good fruit. And as a result, God permitted their enemies to conquer them, to humble them, to bring them very low. And we see that pattern often in the Bible. After being greatly humbled due to sin, there is a spark of repentance and conversion and a crying out to God for his mercy, for his help. There's also a link to today's gospel, as John the Baptist said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance. And even now, the axe lies at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. So again, we have this image of the axe. So there are consequences. There are eternal consequences for either following the Lord or not following the Lord, putting his word into practice in our lives or not putting his word into practice in our lives. And ultimately, it's either heaven or hell, as God gives us the freedom to choose how we live our lives and where we end up. Now, in the prophecy from Isaiah, we glimpse God's mercy and patience as we're told that a shoot will sprout from this humbled stump of Jesse that has been cut down. And the Hebrew word for shoot is netzer. This is the root for the name of the city, Nazareth. This is why St. Matthew tells us in his gospel that Jesus went and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, he shall be called a Nazarene. And we get from today's reading that the coming Messiah, which will spring forth from the line of Jesse and from the line of his son David, that this Messiah will be a just judge and ruler, and that the Spirit of the Lord will come upon him, will be upon him. So remember in the first book of Samuel, when David himself was anointed as king, we hear this description. Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. So Isaiah says that the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon the coming Messiah, and then he lifts the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which belong in their fullness, of course, to Christ. And these gifts were also given to us in baptism, and they were strengthened in us through the sacrament of confirmation. They help dispose us to receive and follow promptly the inspirations given by the Holy Spirit for our salvation. And it's good to pray regularly, even often, for an increase of these gifts in our souls. So how do these gifts assist us specifically in our daily lives? How can they help prepare the way of the Lord in our hearts throughout this season of Advent? Well, the gift of wisdom enables us to discern and delight in the things of God, to become detached from the things of this world. So it diminishes that attractiveness of evil and sin in our hearts. St. Bonaventure says that wisdom detracts from the allurements of the flesh, it purifies the understanding, and it heals the heart, which when once purified begins to relish what is good. Right? So it helps us to relish and delight in things that are good from God rather than the things of this world that take us away from the Lord. So this gift of wisdom inclines us toward the contemplation of God and the things of God. The gift of understanding helps us to better grasp and comprehend the revealed truths and the mystery of faith. It enlightens us, particularly concerning the mystery of our Lord's life. So this gift helps us to profit greatly from good spiritual reading. The gift of knowledge enables us to discern and judge the means that God leads us to salvation. The gift of knowledge helps us to reject what would separate us from God, who is our final end. He is our final end. The gift of counsel helps us discern and to choose that which is most conformable with God's glory and what's most conformable to our salvation. The gift of fortitude gives our souls a strength in resisting evil and removing obstacles in the spiritual life. Again, we think of this Advent message, right? Prepare the way of the Lord. We want to remove all the obstacles that are in the path of our salvation. So fortitude gives us the courage to overcome temptation and constancy in carrying out the resolutions that we've made in the spiritual life. The gift of fear of the Lord helps us to dread displeasing God because he's infinitely good. It assists us in having a profound respect for the majesty of God and helps us to avoid those things that would displease God and separate us from him. And finally, the gift of the Holy Spirit that is not listed explicitly in our reading today from Isaiah is piety. So the Hebrew text, which our reading, the translation is based off that we heard today, in the Hebrew text, there are 6 gifts of the Holy Spirit listed. But the Greek translation of this, which is known as the Greek Septuagint, and the Latin Vulgate, which we get from St. Jerome, they split the gift of fear of the Lord into 2 distinct gifts, piety and fear of the Lord. That's where we hear of the 7 gifts of the Holy Spirit. And St. Paul references this gift of piety in chapter 8 of his letter to the Romans. And he says, all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. You did not receive a spirit of slavery leading you back into fear, but a spirit of adoption through which we cry out, Abba, that is Father. The Spirit himself gives witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So this gift of piety, it leads us to reverence, to seeing God as our Father, and also to love others insofar as they are sons and daughters of God and they belong to God. Piety also inspires us with great devotion to Our Lady, as we see here as our Blessed Mother, and to honor all the angels and saints. In addition, it helps us to love and reverence the words of Holy Scripture, which are the inspired word of God. Right? And this is what St. Paul is referring to today in our second reading, when he says, whatever was written previously was written for our instruction, that by endurance and by the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So this is a very important reminder that not only does the inspired word of God instruct us in the spiritual life, but it also fills us with hope. So if we are tempted to discouragement, we want to immerse ourselves in sacred scripture. The word of God gives us hope. It's very easy to get discouraged in the midst of suffering and various trials. But again, scripture reminds us of God's viewpoint. This is his word. He reveals himself to us. We see clearly throughout scripture that God is in control and that his providence is at work. So this gives us courage along the journey. St. John Chrysostom, commenting on this passage from St. Paul that we heard today, would say the following about scripture and it's being a source of endurance, of encouragement, and hope, as St. Paul would say. St. John Chrysostom writes, these things were written so that we might not fall away, for we have many battles to fight, both inward and outward. But being comforted by the scriptures, we can exhibit patience, so that by living in patience, we might dwell in hope. For these things produce one another. Hope brings forth patience, and patience, hope. So in the second Sunday of Advent, we pray for an increase of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We take up anew the prayerful reading of Scripture in our daily lives to strengthen us in hope and in consolation as we continue to pray for the coming of the Lord.